Welcome to episode 56 of Sound Out Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I suck at Transformers.
And this week, we're going to teach him how to say goodbye as we close out Transformers Ongoing and More Than Meets the Eye.
These are issues 57.
Yes.
Which is an auspicious number in that they are going to be the last ones we have for these books, in a sense.
For these books, yes. This is the end of these titles.
Exactly. We're wrapping these both up. After this, we have Revolution.
Yes.
And then Lost Light. What is Ongoing turn into? Do we know that?
Right now, I know the books from there take off into Optimus Prime, and I think that's a miniseries. I'm still confused on how the books...
Until All Are One is going too, right?
Right, Till All Are One, yes. So that one still exists. There's the Optimus Prime miniseries. Then Lost Light is doing its own thing. Kind of just... So Lost Light is absolutely just continuing More Than Meets the Eye. It's the same story. It's right. Just got a new title. I know James has been very much trying to push the fact that that's
a
the
sense
case.
Of continuity,
don't worry.
Right?
Yes, it's okay. It's going to continue. The other books, yes, I'm not completely solid on my understanding of how everything
breaks down elsewhere.
We will figure it out. That's what we do.
So this is... I want to say, and maybe this is for you to say, not me, with this, by the end of this episode, we will be caught up.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think I suck at Transformers anymore.
I don't think you do either.
There you go. I feel like a new robot.
he's fresh. You are just the hotspot just ignited.
There you go. I love it. it's nuts. And I guess we should just jump into it here.
Yeah. Let's hop right in. So, and we will see in these issues, and we're talking about them the way that they came out, the way that they were published and released. So They're not in order. Like, just to be fair, we really, like, technically both Ongoing should have been last week, and then this week should have been both of the More Than Meets the Eyes, but we did it. I chose to do it the way that they came out, so.
And not only that, but, like, there's a reading list in the back that says to read them that way, so. I don't know.
We're good, though. So, yeah, so we're going to start with Ongoing 57 for one last time.
Some handsome boys on that cover.
Very handsome. I love this cover. It's Optimus. And our son, Soundwave.
Who is, at this point, sort of the de facto leader of the Decepticons, I realized.
Like, he did it, yeah.
Starscream is doing his weird thing, and Megatron is on the Lost Light. He's not a Decepticon anymore. Soundwave leads the Decepticons presently.
He does, and I'm going to go out there and say it. And we'll get into it with what they talk about in these books, but Soundwave... especially in these books, returns to that Decepticon, like the very first initial Decepticon mindset.
I think he gets it better than anyone else at this point.
Absolutely. Certainly better than, you know, it's more what they wanted it to be than what it became by the time Megatron was. I mean, Megatron was always the leader, obviously, but between what it was by the end of the war, quote unquote, and yes, what it is now, this is closer. And Megatron said it too. It's all closer to what it was in the beginning.
Yeah. It's
so,
it's,
yeah, Soundwave.
Compelling stuff.
It really is.
And so just a brief rundown of everything that's been happening. There's some guy who's small, takes over big bodies.
Infinitus.
G.I. Joe tried to shoot at him, but it's G.I. What are they going to do? Come on, knock it off. Then he opens like a space bridge and drags Optimus and Soundwave to somewhere.
Right. He was like, I don't want to talk in front of RC. Come with me. And they left.
I'm not going to talk with a broad in the room.
Well, and even the place that they are, the last panel there we see on the recap is RC standing near the space bridge. Because, of course, there's a Titan on Earth, and that's where they were. And underneath the Titan, there is a large...
a cache of Earth-13.
Yes. Super Energon. Ultra Energon.
Yeah. So we wake up with Optimus waking up.
Yeah, we wake up next to Optimus.
Ooh.
You know. And they've been waiting for him. They're like, oh, there he is. Good morning.
And he tries to get in a fun one-liner on Infinitus, but it's not very good.
Right. It's Infinitus being like, there you are. About time, sleepyhead.
And he looks even goofier because, like, Soundwave is standing right next to him and has been awake this whole time. And I just want to imagine everybody's, like, literally been standing here for, like, 20, 30 minutes while Optimus is, like, snoring.
Right. He's just, like, snoozing away. And they're like, so, I mean, Soundwave would have tried to be like, what is this about? And they're like, well, let's wait. Let's,
yeah.
You know, be polite.
Should we wait for Optimus to wake up? I mean, he's sleeping.
we'll just wait for him. I'm not in a rush. It is very sweet when Optimus is waking up as he's standing up. He immediately asks if Soundwave's okay. And I appreciate that. Yeah. It's very sweet.
And Soundwave says, yeah, duh.
Well, and it's great. He says he still functions, which is a Megatron line from the 86 movie.
There you go.
So there you go. He's absolutely, that line cinches it. He is the leader of the Decepticons.
There you go, everybody. That's proof, as far as I'm concerned.
That'll do it. So yeah, so they're on this planet. Infinitus, Optimus is waking up, and they're pointing out the... Oh,
right, well, I'm laughing about Alpha Trion's headless body.
Right. So they're next to Sentinel Prime's body, I think. His color has changed. And Alpha Trion's body, neither of which have heads on them because the teeny tiny boys are the heads and they're just standing on the shoulders. And then Alpha Trion's head is sitting next to the body.
It's adorable. And so, right, we have Sovereign as well, who is, we also know as Garrison Blackrock. And we just might know as Garrison Blackrock again very soon. Mm. And they're saying, like, yeah, we're here on the dead Titan Prion, in the land where Micronus Prime abdicated his responsibilities.
Yes. So that's where we find ourselves. And it is a very cool picture. We have Lydia doing the artwork here, and we can see just this corpse of this Titan behind them in a bunch of familiar-looking robots. Kind of their corpses stacked up in the foreground here. So that's where we find ourselves on the colony world that was... I don't want to say belonged to, but that came from the Titan Prion. This is where he went with Micronus Prime's people.
Should I recognize these robots?
We'll get to that. They point something out here. Okay. And it's very interesting when it happens. So if you didn't get it, that's okay. That's why I'm here.
That's why we do this show.
That's why we do this show.
So, yeah, Infinitus is saying, like, oh, Sentinel Prime is always just, like, armor I wore. My real name's Minimus Ambus.
Oh, my God, how funny would that be if he's like, surprise, it was me, you guys. They'd be like, oh, shit, Magnus.
This even teensy boy just pops out and is like, oh, I was even teensier the whole time.
But so, yeah, he's saying that Infinitus was a Titan Master. And so it does get a little convoluted when we start talking about, okay, wait, who belonged to which prime?
Right.
What?
There's a lot of prime stuff. There's a lot of stuff about Titans.
Right.
And then Sovereign, which is to say Garrison Blackrock, heralded Onyx Prime. And they're saying, like, guess what? Onyx Prime's coming back. And Soundwave said, well, didn't Galvatron talk about Onyx Prime? And Optimus is like, yeah, I don't care about any of this. I'm going to beat this guy up. We killed Galvatron. We can kill you too, buddy.
Yeah, like, that's Optimus is, he doesn't care. None of this is impressive to him. He's like, whatever. And Infinitus is like, well, look, we're not trying to, like, front on you. We're telling you, you should come join us.
Yeah.
Because we like working with primes.
You're a prime, dog.
Yeah.
You're Amazon Prime. And then we get a G.I. Joe here.
Yeah, I assume we have Wild Bill.
I didn't recognize him, but there you go, Wild Bill. He's with the Plamps. The Plamps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to take on Skylinks.
Right. So back on Earth, they're now going to, the humans are going to the Indian Ocean, which is, of course, where the hubbub was happening with the other Autobots taking care of the remnants of Galvatron's troops. And they were kind of, that's, we talked about the Wraths last time, and, like, they have the wounded, Skylinks is here. They're kind of trying to rally everybody up and be like, okay, we have to account for everyone here.
I do like humans are after them. Yeah, I like that all these humans swarm in, and they're taking fire, but they're more or less like, well, these guys again. What do we do?
Like, all the bots are like, oh God, they found us. All right. Jetfire's just over it. He's like, it is, even like the torchbearers are like, should we talk to them? Okay. Maybe you guys join up. And so they're all being shot at. We have TC here. We do see him. I know last week we were like, he's there. Right. But I don't see him.
He's present. Yes. He just wants to talk to his dog. He wants to go home. Trust me. I've been there, TC.
What a sweet gent he is. He's like, God, this is so boring. And we can see he's missing an arm. Poor baby.
Oh.
Skylynx is kind of like, okay, come on. Anybody going to fight back against these guys?
And Rumble and Frenzy are like, yeah, we will.
Yeah, this sounds great. Let's do it. I do love that Swift is then like, she says, take it easy, big guy, to one of the cassettes. And of course, they're teeny tiny, so I think that that's cute. But even she's like, we're not supposed to hurt them. Like, you know, it's just more of the same. Like, okay, right. Here come the humans again. Let's let they the won't humans leave us alone, do their but thing. We can't. Right.
This was their like, house first.
All right. But the humans, even then, they don't stay on the bots on the surface. They go underwater.
Yeah. They submerse. And Skylynx is like, I'm going after them because there's some explosions going on down there. Just keep an eye on those humans. And yeah. Skylynx does a dive. And now I realize why Skylynx's neck is always like kind of curved like a Brontosaurus neck is because when it's straight like that, it looks very bad.
I didn't even... You do this all the time.
I can't.
The show. You're always like, look at this. Look at this
there's
sexual
very
thing. And I'm
phallic,
like, what?
Skylynx appears very phallic in this scene. He's... I can't help it. I didn't draw it.
I know you didn't draw it. If you did, we would be having different conversations. I mean, I guess. Fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough. But he is, he's diving. Well, and obviously, he's usually got his neck curved because everybody's
right
beneath. They're all, like, on the ground around him. He's very big.
And they sort of slam into the bottom of the ocean.
Yes. They're going to go get their guys. And, because, of course, we have Jazz down here. Blitzwing is punching Drax right in the face. And now he's like, oh, cool, I'm going to take off. Bye.
And tell your brother to fuck off.
Right.
And he like, knows is there. He's like, hey, come on, let's get you
it's
up.
Sweet. Yay, brothers. So they're just kind of like Cup is even saying, okay, everybody get to Skybite. We have to get out of here. So essentially do what we were doing only faster now because
right.
The humans are here.
So we cut back to, what is this Titan called? Prion.
Prion,
yes.
Yeah.
Cut back to Prion. This guy's still monologuing, talking about Micronus Prime, the mini-cons.
Yes. So he's saying, and this is where the thing comes in that I was telling you about, or that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of giving us some backstory here on Prion. Prion, of course, was one of the 13 primes. And Micronus was one of the 13 primes. Prion was his Titan. This was their colony world. And so this group of... colonists or whatever were called minicons, and Infinitus is saying that Micronus betrayed them just like he betrayed Onyx, and so they're saying that Micronus is, or he's saying that everybody thinks Micronus is dead, but he's not, and that he thinks Micronus left through a space bridge, leaving his followers behind to the mercy of the Black Bloc Consortia,
who
murdered everybody. This is Nichols' colony.
Oh.
Yes. So there you go.
There
now
I go.
We know.
Now I know.
Her prime was Micronus. She was the survivor. Because then he says, they raised the world, they annihilated the populace, save for one, and she was corrupted by the Decepticons. Boom.
Huh. And
that's
I guess
our girl.
I do see, looking at them now, they kind of look like Nichol.
Yeah, if you go back up to that first one, you can see, yes, they're that round kind of... retro
adorable
robot. Yeah, super cute. That's their defining trait. Which I really liked. I liked that we got that kind of tie back to somebody who now we of course know exactly what she is. She's in Never Past Bedtime Land now. She's hanging out with Deathsaurus and his dudes. Wisely.
Optimus says, why did you wake me up for this? I do not care even a little bit. And Infinitus is like, well, I'm going to do this to Earth if you don't join me, dog.
Right. He's kind of saying, like, this is what happens if you as a Prime betray what you're supposed to do. And I do want to point out, I love that panel because Optimus does look pissed and is like, what the hell? Why are you telling me this? And Infinitus is like crawling back into like his seat on top of
his big boy clothes. Body.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go turn into this guy's head again. But it does look like a little kid like hoisting himself up onto a chair. It's very cute because he's tiny.
And Soundwave is saying like, well, you're not even a Prime. And he's like, oh, I thought you didn't believe in Prime, Soundwave. And Soundwave is like, well, I saw this guy raise a Titan. And it's like, okay, it's
pretty
well,
compelling.
Guess what? That means you believe. Good. And I'm going to kill you now. And then Alpha Trion under mind control. Is the Sovereign Garrison Black Rock under mind control. Yeah. Slices Soundwave in half.
Right into him. Like from his shoulder, just down, just at an angle.
Yep.
It's real horrifying.
It's real bad. I don't like it.
No. I was very upset. Optimus reflects our worries. He shouts, no, of course, that's what you do. Anguished. And of course, yeah, Infinitus is like, who cares? There are more of him. And so, he's saying that, yeah, he just kind of is like, well, whatever. Soundwave didn't.
Who cares?
He gets a pot shot in on Soundwave, being like, he thinks he wanted freedom, but he didn't. Essentially being like, just more of this whole, like, the people who believe in the Primes and who, like, really hardcore believe in them tend to be a little douchey. They tend to have some skewed views.
Yeah, that tends to be how
it goes. At least the really old ones, like these guys.
Speaking of douchey people with skewed views, here's Spike on the next page.
Say Blitz. I was like, what did Blitz mean?
No, Blitz is fine.
Yeah, he's cool.
But he sure does get stabbed through the chest.
John just right through the chest. Lots of Decepticons getting run through the chest.
Now, he insists on being called Talon. That's his code name.
That's true. Good call. He is not known as John on the battlefield. God, Spike. They do, like, Talon and Spike do flirt a little, which, listen to those names. Like, right. Do you think maybe he wanted to be called Talon because Spike was called Spike? And he was like, I want a cool,
edgy-sounding nickname. That's exactly what it is. I also, of course, have to imagine that Spike is naked from the neck down because we never see him anywhere lower than that. So he's just flying up there buck-ass nude.
That's just how he does.
That's the Spike with Wiki I know. That's how he
old habits.
Good news though, while they were being like, yar, we caught ourselves a Decepticon, Victorion is like, hey, I'm gonna form and you guys need to get out of here.
Yeah. So she's like, she's formed up, she's using her gravity powers. And I do love, and this is why, like, in my mind I hear her as Garnet from Steven Universe, because it works perfectly because even the way she speaks, she talks about how the Torchbearers formed together become her. Like, she refers to the parts of her, and I like that. Yeah, that's how fusions talk about themselves in Steven Universe.
And she's using her cool gravity powers to basically swat them out of the sky.
They're like, oh man, we can't compete with this.
I thought we were cool. But they aren't, obviously. And so as they're sort of scrambling to regain control of their jets, we're like, maybe we should get out of here, the Autobots say. And retreat they do.
Before somebody gets killed on either side.
Womp womp.
And so,
Infinitus is saying, like, Sentinel never existed. I'm Sentinel. I knew it wasn't a real Prime. I was just here to serve Prime while I waited for Onyx to return. And then there's a line here, which you may need to explain to me. Megatron and his Decepticons turned me into a chair.
So, yes, in the Megatron miniseries, why can't I think of, like, the actual name of it? It wasn't Spotlight Megatron, which is brilliant, by the way. That is a fantastic book. Megatron Origin, that's the one. After they kill Sentinel, I think they end up taking his body and, like, at least his, and, like, forming it into, like, a throne or something. I think that that's what happens.
Good.
I think it's something along those lines. I could be wrong. I haven't read Megatron Origin in a very long time. But I believe that is to what he's referring. Like, even when he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I think I remember something like that. Megatron, you card.
That's some Alita 1 shit.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, yeah, I was knocked down a peg and now BlackRock is too, and we're gonna get back what's ours.
Yeah, we have some motivation here. We've been at the bottom, now we're gonna climb back up like I do when I'm a tiny boy, getting back into my big boy seat.
Yeah. And
and
go ahead.
Like, well, even, like, his wording, because, of course, yes, now we know why he's got, obviously, a chip on his shoulder about Decepticons in particular. So he's like, yeah, we got to kill all of those Decepticons. So, of course, it cuts back to the fact that a Sovereign, I keep forgetting his name, is killing Soundwave. He's still with us.
Come on, that's who he is.
But yeah, Soundwave is still with us at the moment. He's not doing so hot, but, you know, he's still here. His visor's still on. And, of course, Optimus isn't buying all this stuff. Like, he's not going to come around to what they're saying. And he even says, like, if you think that, like, being one of your primes that you love so much is going to tempt me to join you, you are an idiot, because... And I love it because he says, you don't understand what being Optimus Prime means. And I'm like, whoa, he went all the way to third person.
Please call me Orion Pax.
He's very used to, he hasn't done it in a while. He's like, I should say my own name.
just to be sure everyone here is aware, I am a Prime. And he sort of shoulder checks him, and Soundwave pulls the sword out of himself.
Because he's, like, yeah, he, like, grabs the blade of it.
Yeah, like, which is, like, this crazy fire energy blade like RC has. And he just, like, grabs it and pulls it out, and then beats off Alpha Trion's head.
Yeah.
That was a bad phrasing, but...
It was. As soon as you start saying it, I was like, well, it's par for the course on this show.
There you go.
But yeah, he's still holding it by the blade and just swings, and either he, like, hits it like a baseball.
That's what I was thinking.
Or he cuts it off. But it looks like he hits it with the hilt and, like, yeah, just knocks Sovereign right off of Alpha Trion's body. And I do love that even Soundwave was like, okay, Prime, you are a little, like, jeez, like, cool it with your...
But yeah, chill with all the Prime stuff. We've talked about this.
Like, God, Optimus, you know what makes me uncomfortable.
And Optimus says, as we've heard before, the Sentinel, which is to say Infinitus, has said that the Titans are not necessarily dead. They're just, you know, operating on a frequency that only he can communicate with. So Optimus says, go get BlackRock because we can use him to bring back the Titans, maybe.
Right. Like, make sure. Yeah. And even, like, the fact that, because of course he's like, they took off Alpha Trion's head. Make sure BlackRock / Sovereign doesn't get away, because
they can wake up Titans. To fix him.
Yeah. And then it gets really weird.
I love this showdown because, so, presumably when Sovereign was activated, it's this, you know, he's like Infinitus, or he's this high and mighty dude who's speaking all this horseshit.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm Sovereign, I control my future, and, like... And Soundwave's just like, okay, buddy. And then, like, basically whistles a tune. And he's like, oh, hey, I'm BlackRock again. What happened?
Right. He's like, sure. Come on. There you are. There he is.
Which,
that's where I'm like, what? How?
Yes. I'm with you.
This reminds me of, like when you watch, like, old cartoons and they, like, unmask someone, but then you can, like, keep just taking off the masks and they become other people.
I was like, didn't we already take off the human looking head to reveal a robot head beneath, but now we're taking off the robot head to reveal his human looking head beneath?
Yes, it is straight up a cartoon. It's a Scooby-Doo mystery up in here. Yeah, because he does. He, like, crumples off his robot face, and he's BlackRock again.
Infinitus would have got away with it if it wasn't for these meddling kids.
That is absolutely true. That's a true statement.
And as is the fashion with Garrison Blackrock, he immediately gets picked up like a small doll.
That's how you do it. You're like, oh, jeez, now I gotta wrangle this one again. And yeah, Infinitus grabs him. He's like, nope, you are not going with them. You're still coming with me. You still serve Onyx.
And he's saying, Optimus, I tried to be nice. I tried to be your friend and offer you a throne in hell where I would conquer. But remember that when I destroy all of Cybertron forever.
And Earth, bye.
Bye. And BlackRock is like, hey, you know the drill. Please stop this guy.
Right. Please, can you guys a little help? And of course, Infinitus goes through the space bridge. And Soundwave is like, I don't know where it's going. Like because of course they're on.
This runs on Windows 95.
Yeah, it's just way too old. He can't trace it. But Optimus is saying it's totally fine. As long as that space bridge is operational, we got this. And you're like, uh-huh. And of course, we already know where they go because we read more than meets the eye 56. But then we go back to Earth, where we have the flyers are up in the air. Victorian is carrying all the rafts with the injured on it.
It's adorable.
It's so cute. But she does wish they weren't running. She doesn't like that.
Right. And also the Plamph and Spike are saying like, well, why are we letting them run? But Talon is saying, well, check it out. I got one of them. Is it a Decepticon?
Yeah, we have one. And he's saying, yeah, like we still have the wreckage of the ship, which of course was the ship that Galvatron was using. So he's saying the wreckage we can still get. We have Blitzwing. I skewered him. And we made the Autobots run. So
maybe this G.I. Joe thing is working out.
Yeah, I do kind of. I mean, I'm a sucker for this stuff. It was fun for me when he says Yo Joe. I'm like, yeah, that's what you do.
That is what they do.
It's just, I love that. Like, there's just, obviously, like, there's a charm to those campy old shows. So, yeah, it's really fun when they all shout Yo Joe. That's, yeah. It goes along with the camp. So I'm like, yes. Keep bringing that back.
Absolutely. And so we cut to Cybertron here, and there's that boy you like.
There's that boy I like. Wait, what are you talking about?
Wheeljack's right up in front here.
No, he's not. Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
He's like
the center of the panel.
He totally is. I feel like, I don't know, I've like skimmed that first one because Ironhide stands out so much.
Right,
he's red.
It's basically an establishing shot. It's not, you're not
meant
to linger.
Yes, right. And Jack's, the gray on him blends in with like the gray all around them. And so I like didn't even focus on him. I'm just like, where? So I went immediately down to like Soundwave and Optimus and everyone. I'm like, I don't know.
Let me ask you
this.
Who did you think I was talking about when I said there's that boy you like? Ironhide?
I figured you said your boy's there. And I was like, yeah. And I like agreed with you before I like went to look at the panels. And so I knew you meant Wheeljack, but I was just like, what? No, he's not here. So that's don't worry. I knew who you meant. I just thought I was not looking at the same panel you were looking at yet.
So we go into this hospital, I guess it is. Fix-It's working on Alpha Trion.
Yay, we like Fix-It. and I do, yes, Fix-It's working on Alpha Trion. He makes a remark about having a good head on his shoulders. Soundwave's like, for the love of God, Fix-It, just do your job. But Fix-It is letting us know we do get some setting here. He's like, I know, sorry, but I saw a lot of dead Decepticons today, and it's been upsetting, and I'm glad that I get to save Alpha Trion.
Let me have this.
God, Soundwave, please. Because yes, the last we will remember back on Cybertron, when Infinitus woke up as Sentinel Prime, he went to the Decepticon ghetto and just like shot up the place.
Yeah.
So that's why Fix-It has seen a lot of bad things today.
It's tough being Fix-It.
It's been a rough day. Fix-It in the no good, very bad day.
And then we get a very intimate moment between Optimus and Soundwave.
Very much, yeah. Optimus, yeah, he's saying he's still beating himself up about this. He wishes he would have stopped Sentinel. at the very, you know, like as soon as this started, because now of course Sentinel's loose,
right?
And yeah,
Soundwave like... says, "Well, you know what? You saved me, and I love you for it."
And I mean, also you saved Alpha Trion, and I'm sure he loves you.
And then they both mumbles. Take off their faceplates,
and they're like about, they're like getting real close, like they were right. already close. And then Windblade's like, "Oh, hey, am I interrupting something? I don't care if I am.
Get a room, you two."
Jeez, you guys. But she's saying,
and everybody laughs, and it freeze frame credits.
Absolutely. There are literally episodes of Transformers PS that do end that way, and they're always my favorites. There's like one I can specifically remember, and I don't remember what the episode is, but there's, I'm sure other people listening to this are like, I totally know which one she means. And yeah, it's just like a group of the Autobots and like Spike and Sparkplug, and they're all, ah, ha, ha, ha. And that's just, it like fades out to the credits, and it's perfect.
I love
so that's what happens here.
That's exactly
bringing
what happens
back
here.
The 80s.
Windblade. I almost called her RC. That's weird. Windblade says, hey, yeah, that was a shitty day, but like, we're all here, and that's good. And Optimus is like, yeah, about that, I have to go back to Earth.
Yeah. And it is interesting because he says, I must return home immediately.
Right.
And by home, I mean Earth. And you're like, whoa, Prime, you really do. You love Earth. You love it.
He's a big Earth lover.
He has one of those I Heart New York t-shirts because he does. He loves New York because it's on Earth.
He's a real environmentalist.
Yes.
He's a real tree hugger. And he's saying like, Windblade, you can get to me by Space Bridge because we have one of those. That's good. Things on Earth are really rough. And Windblade's like, yeah, like, what's the deal with all that? And he's saying like,
what, a Titan?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. It just happened.
And then, also there's Or-13 beneath it.
There's a bunch of that under the Titan. It's pretty disturbing. And she's like, yeah, no kidding.
Like, go figure that out, please.
Yeah, we're cool here. Don't you worry about Starscream. I sent him on a scavenger hunt. It'll take him a while. And he's like, you're a good friend, Windblade. You get it.
And then as Optimus is walking away, ooh, this sucks. Soundwave says, like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And Optimus is like, that's weird.
He's like, what, Soundwave again?
And Soundwave says, a close friend of mine died recently, Ravage. And Soundwave lays out that he could feel Ravage's spark go out. And that Ravage was the one who came to him when they were lowest. And it was Ravage that basically taught him about the Decepticon cause and showed him that all Cybertronians are one. And now Soundwave is saying, because of this, I've learned it's not just all Cybertronians. Everyone is one before Primus. And I know we've just been through 4 million years of war and there's a bunch of stuff, but Galvatron and Sentinel are like signs that things are going to get worse and we need to work together to go forward.
Right. It's a really, really good, I'm really glad that they Soundwave closed this out, that it's Soundwave, bridging whatever was left of this gap, at least between these two. Because, you know, he does even state the fact that, like, he was coerced into working with Optimus. Like, Optimus, and we were there for that. He was like, hey, guess what? I have some dirt
on you. I'm blackmailing you right now.
Exactly. But yeah, he's... Now he's with him. He's essentially saying, this is on us. We have to, like, you and me, we got to prepare for this. It's going to get worse because of people like Galvatron and like Sentinel. And it's so sweet because even at the end, he says, it's up to us to prepare for it. And he calls Optimus old friend. And I'm like, oh my God, how dare you? That's adorable.
And it ends with the Decepticon and Autobot logos down in the corner, which is like... Damn, that's some slick stuff.
I'm so excited that, like, you're reading this and, like, you get it now. Because, like, that's all it takes. Like, put the Autobots and Decepticons next to each other, like, as a united team, and I'm hyped. Like, I'm down. I'm so excited. So I'm glad. It's very exciting to me that, like, a thing that, like, a year and a half ago you'd be like, I don't know how you would, but it would just look like two symbols next to each other.
Sure.
Like, but now,
I don't even recognize the letters they use in these books. No, yeah, I get the impact. But I do. I like it.
Right. Like, it means something when you have all the context. I do want to point out, because then, of course, we have a very cool group shot here at the end. And look at TC. He's cuddling his puppy. I just wanted to point that out to everybody. He's back. He's got Buster. We have Doc up in front with Optimus. Bob is next to Optimus. Yeah, everybody's looking really cool.
It's a great shot.
RC is a little bit off to the side. She's like, yeah.
I'm comfortable
here. But yeah, and that's the end of Ongoing.
The
title as we know it.
Revolution's coming, everybody.
Revolution's coming.
Well, I think that's it for the show. Are we forgetting anything?
Nope.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
So this is the last issue of More Than Meets the Eye that will be called More Than Meets the Eye. And yeah. I couldn't just like have a nice thing. Prowl has to show up.
Well, and
I know he was in the last issue, but he's on the cover here.
He is on the cover here. Prowl. And it's, which, I mean, I have to say, he's looking real good on the cover here. I figured, obviously, in this issue, Prowl and your feelings towards him and just who he is as a person obviously was going to come up.
Right.
And I thought that we might get some interesting conversation.
We certainly will. One. I'm confident in that.
But I also do have to say, even, like, I know it's just, like, the story's not done and we're going to keep going in Lost Light, but it's still saying last issue of More Than Meets the Eye. It hurts. It's...
Yeah.
It's a painful thing to say and to be like, here we are. We're at the end of the title that is More Than Meets the Eye. But that's where we are. That's where we find ourselves.
I'll tell you this. I don't... Mm-hmm. This is probably... I don't think I've ever read a comic that got up to issue 57. That I've started from number one at. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Okay.
At least not while, like, it was still going. Because, while, like, I read Transmetropolitan, and I think that was 60 issues. But, like, Transmetropolitan was way finished by the time that I had read it. And so most series that I read get up to maybe 18 issues before they're...
Okay.
Like, they may still continue. They just get a new number one. Because that's how the comic book industry tends to work.
Right.
So 57 is a very good number.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and did you read at the end of this issue?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Because I know in the end of this issue, everyone, in case you didn't read it, there is a closeout from James.
A little epilogue.
And and it's really good. It's worth the read. So he covers all the things that we essentially
will be discussing.
And yes. but yeah, so here we go. One last time. More Than Meets the Eye.
And wouldn't you know, it's all of our favorite friends, all that crazy Lost Light crew that we've grown so accustomed to.
We love them. Yeah, we start out with earlier. This panel just says earlier, and gosh, this is all the way back in issue one.
Yeah.
This is Red Alert. He's doing door duty for the Lost Light.
He's bouncing.
But if you're paying attention, you know immediately that it's not right.
Right.
Because of the people in line.
Noticed Bumblebee is in line.
Bumblebee is in line. We have, like, Ambulon is in line. First Aid is here. People who are like, no, they weren't there. In the very forefront, we have Iron Fist, who I know that name doesn't... that's a Marvel name, too, so that name might do something for you. But as far as these comics are concerned, I know you do not know Iron Fist, really, yet. But yeah, I'm like, oh, Iron Fist is here. I wish he was on board the Lost Light. But yeah, so immediately when you like take a moment and you wait and you hesitate, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't. So we know, yes, this is not actually looking back on that moment.
And we're having a little tête-à-tête with Brainstorm and laughing at him there.
What we remember from the first one, Brainstorm coming aboard.
Like, no.
Swerve coming aboard.
Can't look at this briefcase. Remember those days?
Yeah. Remember those days? And even then when Brainstorm's holding up that his little ID there, that was back in the first one, I was like, oh yeah, it looks like the little card that would come with the packaging, the Transformers, and it had all their stats on it, and like a reader for you to... I remember us discussing this.
Yeah, the little thermal press thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, it was one of those, like, it's got like the red, like, cellophane.
Yeah.
And you like...
Oh, okay, you lay it over and...
Yeah, the thermal press thing is when it was like the reveal the shield kind of.
Gotcha.
That's how you could see if they were Autobot or Decepticon.
Sure.
A classic thing on the toys. But anyway, so yeah. We have Brainstorm coming aboard. We have Swerve saying he's Megatron. But then, and of course, if you remember the way Swerve introduced himself and like was coming on board, we know he didn't say this. His
right
text...
He never claimed changes. To be Megatron.
Well, he did.
Well, sure.
but he says he's here to warn Red Alert, which is certainly not what Swerve did when he came aboard.
And he tells him that he hasn't been on a quest since. Look at your data pad. And Red Alert looks at his data pad and it says, this never happened. So that's weird.
Very weird. And
wonder what's up with that.
Kind of, yeah, a little flicker, a little insight to Red Alert, who we know very well by now. He's a sweet, tender guy. And
he wants nice things for everybody.
Yes.
let's go to Luna 1 now. I bet it's real calm. Oh shit, there's Titans everywhere.
Titans everywhere in the sky.
Titans in the sky. great Beatles song.
Great.
And so yeah, god darn,
we'll remember.
Yes, as we recall, Red Alert had just shot Prowl, which was great, all about that.
yes.
And this guy Infinitus is saying like, yep, good job, I'm gonna use all these Titans and kill Cybertron. And Fort right. Max is like, don't
do that. So yes, last time, this is where... So what just happened in ongoing 57, then continued in More Than Meets the Eye 56, which was these two teeny tiny Bing Bongs coming to Luna 1, which is why now we do know that Sovereign is resisting. Sovereign isn't
right.
on board with Infinitus, because we know now he was brought back around by Soundwave. So that's where it is. They still woke up all the Titans, and there's a fight. Prowl's been shot.
Yeah.
Red Alert is attacking Fort Max.
Prowl might die. This is awesome.
Prowl might die. and
Red Alert is beating the shit out of Fort Max as best he can, at least. Fort Max is a big dude. It's tough to beat the shit out of him.
Absolutely.
And Infinitus is saying, like, ha, you're gay for Prowl. Because
Cerebros
is like holding Prowl's near dead body, and he's like,
so sweet looking.
He's like, you sentimental spark mates, you pansy boy. He's like, oh my god, you old racist grandpa, this guy's dying.
Yeah, god, Infinitus and all, whatever you want to call yourself. But yeah, very, very clearly bringing back that, like, we lost one racist space
right,
racist,
exactly,
we gained another.
God darn
also,
old people.
Like, again, Priscilla did the art on these, and I really like her, just the way she handles them and their positioning and their expressions. She does a really great job. So even Cerebros in that panel, like, holding Prowl, it looks very sweet.
It's very sweet.
I like it. She did a very good job.
And he's saying, like, why are you... Prowl, like, studied under you for years. And this guy's like, yeah, right. I didn't really care. He was holding me back.
And yeah. So just really firmly lays it out there. Just a douche. Like,
right.
we don't have to worry about
this guy
bad things happening
real
to him.
Bad.
He just... What a jerk. But yeah, he's saying that, like, right, Prowl was just a means to an end. And he was actually kind of a pain in the butt.
Well, yeah.
So it's fine.
I mean, I get it.
You're like, I'm with him there. You agree on his Prowl killing policies.
Not much in the way of his conjunct Syndura stance, but I like his take on Prowl. and so Cerebros is like, what? Before you do anything else, tell us how you're not dead. And
yeah,
he's like, oh, yeah, I was just hanging out in a big body for a while. And then when that body died, I popped off because I'm actually a little head.
Yeah, like I just got out of there, just left.
Just skedaddle.
So yeah, Just, you know, I was just hanging out. He was in an underground. He was just kind of like, he was printing zines for a while, just doing his own thing, just finding out who he was.
Just really, like, getting in touch with himself. And then he discovered his Titan chakras.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, you know, he got some crystals.
Yeah, he's like, by the way, now I can control Titans.
Yeah. But that's what happened after he died, so thanks for asking, Cerebros. People don't normally.
That is so sweet.
I appreciate it. It's not often I get to talk about myself. And so then, of course, we remember, oh, right, Sovereign is, like, shoved into the brain of right. the Titan.
And, yeah.
And so now Infinitus is letting us know. He's like, oh, good. Sovereign, she's has made a connection to Luna 1. He's saying that the thrusters of Luna 1, which, of course, we've covered before,
right.
they are powered by quantum foam, which we've also covered.
Yeah.
Yes. And so he's saying, great, I can use this power. That's perfect.
And I love that Cerebros is like, I have literally no idea what you're saying. I like really tried to pay attention here.
He's very, very cute. Like Cerebros immediately, very endearing. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because he's like you said, he's just like, I was hanging on your every word and I still don't get it. So, of course, Sentinel, being a sweet, patient, understanding person, grabs him by the neck and is like, listen, dumbass, I'm saying the Titans can use the quantum power, essentially, to generate a huge enough space bridge, a huge enough portal to jump all of them.
Right. So all of these Titans will be able to get through a space bridge.
Yes.
Which is, it sounds bad.
Yeah, not good. At least not when he's... Not when this Yahoo's in charge.
I mean, I'm all for, like, Titan transportation being efficient, but, like...
For sure.
Not for this guy. Come on.
Not with this guy at the helm.
So Fort Max shoots him, and I love it because he's, like, doing that thing where you put your hand on a little kid's forehead while a little kid tries to swing his arms at you.
He's absolutely doing exactly that. Also, like, right, like, this whole panel, my comment just says, whoa, hey, fellas. Because Max is on the ground. Red is straddling him. And then Max is, yeah, like you said, doing the thing where you push the kid's head back. Like, you can't hit me if I just get you far enough away from me.
You don't have the reach. Yeah.
Which, Max, clearly a good combatant, which we already know. But yeah, keeping Red Alert at bay, turning, shooting Sentinel to get him off of Cerebros.
And then they managed to flee with Prowl and...
Well, because all of a sudden, as Sentinel is about to now use, like, he's about to cut, like, Cerebros' head off.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I imagine when you're a teeny tiny headmaster, that's just what you do by default.
You're used to taking heads off.
Right. You're like, well, just take his head off. I'll just take control. Like, that's just the easiest way to do this.
That's what you do with heads. You remove them.
You remove them. And then you sit in the spot where they once occupied. But just as he's about to do this, Prowl smashes a door or something on him. He smashes something onto Sentinel.
Right.
Like, who's where? Whose name is what?
Sentinel and Sovereign and Infinitus.
And Cerebros.
Right.
And, yeah. Tons of and Blackrock.
And of course, Prowl is saying, like, we need to go. And Fort Max is like,
well, he's
going
not.
Is a really
Cerebros
good...
is saying that. Right, and that's Cerebros, where it's suddenly like, oh, what's going on with Prowl? Because his eyes are still dim.
Right.
But anyway. Yes. They're like, we got to go.
Right. And they Scooty Puff Jr. out of there.
They do. They take off. They leave Red with Sentinel.
And Sentinel's and like, all right, great. Now we can get to work.
Perfect. We don't need to follow those idiots.
We get a flashback.
And now we have another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Red Alert going through rewind stuff.
Yes. Which is another moment we will remember seeing the after effects way back when. First of all, in this next panel, like the second panel on the page, look at the little indignant, like...
Well, Huffy princess stance.
Just totally, like, arms straight at his sides, like, you can't do this.
Why
you? Can't just go through my stuff. Like, how dare you? So, yes, Red is going through his stuff, and he's saying Ultra Magnus is letting him do it, whatever. And, of course, we know he's looking for a contraband, which he finds.
Yeah.
And it's cute conversation between him and Rewind, where we're like, oh, hey, yeah, I didn't get to see this part of, we saw Rewind's punishment, but we didn't see this actually happen. And he even mentions the fact that he was in Translucentica Heights, and Rewind can ask Chrome Dome, like, this is just what he does. He's always been this kind of person, which we're like, yeah, we've seen all of this.
That's true.
Yeah, sure enough, he finds what Rewind was hiding.
Right, and it's the snuff discs, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Rewind, those aren't mine. I've never seen those before. Don't watch them, whatever they are. I bet they're bad. And also don't tell Chrome Dome.
And also don't give in, which you're like, wait a minute, right. that one doesn't sit right. The rest of them, you can be like, yes, he absolutely said those things. Because Rewind, you're adorable.
And he lays the discs out in that sort of five-panel formation that we've seen. Yeah,
we see it again.
Almost like the Olympic rings.
Almost like the Olympic rings or like Cassiopeia.
There you go.
The constellation.
I love it. Or Nemo surgery wounds. Just throwing that out there as well.
Or that.
And so we cut back to the present day. Here's Prowl and Cerebros and Fort Max. And Prowl is like, damn, my head hurts. And I'm like, yeah, good.
But, hey, right. At least he's alive.
he got remote control brained by Cerebros with right. that. We remember that.
Yeah, the thing he brought up in 56. It was how he wanted to help get the roboids.
Roboids. Little boids.
It was how he wanted to reverse their domestication even quicker. So he used that device that everybody was like, nah, it seems like it's pushing it. He used that on Prowl when Prowl was after he'd been shot. And that was how Prowl could suddenly stand and fight back against Sentinel.
Yeah. And Prowl's pissed because he had his mind messed with, and he's like, oh, I hate everything.
And, I mean, this is where, like,
I never there's
give
there's
Prowl
no,
credit
no.
here.
At this
yeah,
point, no.
you do.
There's no point in which I will ever give Prowl any credit. I'm sorry, he's a lost cause in my book.
He
I don't like
has
Prowl.
Had his, so I know you don't like him, but he has had his, I mean, we've seen,
yes,
we saw Prowl him do it.
Yes, that's not
That is
good.
Messed up.
I'm not happy about that. I'm never going to feel sympathy for this guy, especially because he's talking about being brainwashed. We do remember he got brainwashed by, what was his name?
Bombshell.
Bombshell, yes. We remember that in, like, but the thing is, you didn't do anything you wouldn't have done anyway, it seems like.
I mean, I certainly can't force you to have
right.
any
I'm not,
kind of to
I mean,
relent at all on Prowl.
I get it. I just mind control's a bad thing, and I don't think it should happen to anybody. But like,
I was
not
just
gonna,
thought maybe this is a moment where we'll get like
no,
a little like a
no
some sort of like
not
we'll
even,
get something
not
from
even
Greg
a
recording
bit.
That Prowl.
Nope.
Man, I say this every week that Prowl is in a book, but I'm really, really interested to see your reaction to any other.
I'm sure he's
Prowl.
Fine in other continuities. He's not even bad when James writes him. The well is poisoned.
I think that is another thing I did want to point out in this book specifically, and we kind of get it in these next few panels. Because even like, yeah, because Prowl, of course, responds. Strongly to the fact that he was any sort of mind control was used on him
right.
to get them free. I do love Cerebros again, like such good expressions and movement in these books. He's like got his hands together, like,
right? He's doing the like
I apologize
very understanding for guy maneuver yes. there.
Yes, but hear me out here. He's saying that Red Alert was the one who shot him. He's bringing him around. To what happened. And even Prowl's reaction being like, of all that, what? And he's like, immediately, like, I don't know. It's
he's
to me,
so
it's cute because I like Prowl.
About it.
Yes, he's very indignant about it. He's like, got his hands up to his chest, like, me, Red Alert shot me. What? And I do think that's, and you were the one who reminded me of it. Like, we get more emotion from Prowl, even in just these two. books.
Right. He's being written like a character who's when he gets in a bad mood, it's funny as opposed to just like Chugga Ha Cool Prowl is like doing all these things that are morally repugnant.
Yeah. So I do think that's interesting.
Yeah, that contributes.
Too.
I get it and I appreciate it. And in other continuities, I'm sure it's fine because I won't like.
Right. He's not. I don't know. It is so hard because I like, you know, Prowl being, you know, the pragmatist, the ends justify the means kind of. Just, but like, I'm with you though. There are moments where. And it's not bad. Like, it's, you know, you don't have to love every character, obviously. He does a good job of making Prowl an unlikable guy, John does. Like, mm-hmm. He does a good job of making him kind of the moral other of the Autobots. Like, they're not all Optimus Prime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, and that's good. Right. I'm glad he exists as that.
I understand the necessity of Prowl, and I even think that, like, in this series, Prowl is being written very well. I don't like the way that Prowl tends to be approached, and I also don't like the things he generally does, which...
Yeah, like, no, totally understandable.
Like, half of it is just me disagreeing with a character, and I can still like a character who does morally repugnant things, but like it also just in the entire run of RID felt like Prowl never had any repercussions for his actions or like ever felt any remorse for the clearly shitty things he did. Like,
yeah, I totally get it. I get where you're coming from. I get why you feel the way you do about him. I absolutely do. Yeah, because it to me, I feel like Robots in Disguise took what we know of Prowl, or just kind of the idea of Prowl, and then really pushed it and like took it, which again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that that's
right
where I can be like, yeah, no, this is kind of always how he is. But you're absolutely right. He does. It goes to an extreme where you're like, God, you're being a right douche right now, Prowl. And I cannot sit here and defend you because you're being a dick. So I get it. I don't blame you.
And we have probably the best panel. This is the panel that I had spoiled for me because it was all over Twitter.
Yes.
Prowl saying, he shot me. Red Alert shot me. And Fort Max says, living the dream. And I feel you, buddy.
Oh, Max. He...
Imagine he getting kind of like... to shoot Prowl. What a dream.
Which of course, yeah, Max has some, which he brought up last time.
He's not going to fight a car.
There.
Before like, Max gets Prowl, in these two issues, he gets the best lines.
It's such a good line. I'm very glad that it's there. but yes, even when Prowl's like, what? Max like nothing. It's
and like, anything. this is a fun direction to go with Prowl. It's like, a guy who doesn't even realize that people don't like him, but like,
absolutely,
you know, in RID and stuff is like, I don't care that people don't like me because I'm the one who gets results. He's like Spike.
Yes. Which was how they played off of each other in, now it's weird when I call it ongoing, in ongoing prior to the death of Optimus Prime.
Right.
That was where they kind of came together in this like, kind of mutual, like, oh, hey, we kind of behave the same way, or we have the same ideas, but then...
We don't need oversight or checks and balances, because we get results.
Exactly. Well, and then it was Spike then pushing it, like, he didn't have the, like... So it was almost like this respect,
sure,
in a way, between the two of them, because it was a, you know, they operated the same way, but then Spike went ahead and operated that way against Prowl, and that was where Prowl then really, and you know, it came up in those early issues especially, and when they went back to Earth in Robots in Disguise, it came up, you know, he would refer to Spike, and I know we talked about it in those episodes, but yeah, that's where, you know, if there's any saving grace, there you go, at least you can know Spike is still worse. Spike is
sure,
still worse.
I had no doubt about that.
But anyway, yes, but I'm with you. It's fun to see Prowl written like this.
And so we're talking about Red Alert, and Fort Max is like, no, I don't buy it. I think there's got to be something more here. I don't think Red Alert is a double agent. I don't think he's trying to backstab us here.
Right.
And Prowl is saying, like, where are we right now? This looks like a giant teacog. And he's like, it is a giant teacog. We're in a titan, dog.
Yeah. Where do you think we are? Come on.
Keep up.
Outside. Jeez, Prowl.
And Prowl is even like, I hate not knowing things right here.
Yeah. He has, like, a physical reaction to it. His head is hurting. He kind of isn't... He's slumping a little bit. And Cerebros is like, is it the thing I put in your head? I'm sorry. And he's like, no, it's, I hate not knowing answers. he does. So even like in this sense, when he says, is this what it's like for other people wandering around asking questions? Like, because I love that because it is like, God, he's so full of himself. But at the same time, it's done in such a way where it's funny. Like,
right.
It's, I don't
absolutely.
Know.
No, I totally agree. And Cerebros is saying like, yeah, we're gonna transform the Titan and go chase after him. And right. Formax is like, yeah, except that like it's jammed.
Right. Like we could get this Titan to transform, but he's stuck in base mode. You can activate it manually, but yes, this jam is in the way.
If only someone could flip this table.
It's such a like, these are the times when you're like, you know for sure, you're like, yeah, James loves Community because this is the kind of shit that would happen in that show. Like, I mean, the only way to save everyone is to flip this table. And Prowl's like, this is me. I got this. And of course, Fort Max, who is huge and was a prison warden, is like, Prowl, I couldn't flip this thing.
No
I
offense,
don't think.
Buddy, but I'm like three Prowls.
Prowl's like, nah, watch this. And he flips that manual switch.
There you go. And now we have a Titan. Ho, ho, ho. So we go to Infinitus and he's doing his like supervillain monologuing. And he's
absolutely.
Like, seize him, you fools.
he's telling the Titans to just kill everything on the other side of this portal.
Right. And Sovereign's saying like, all these Titans are doing what you say, huh? And he's like, yeah, rules. And he's like, well, what if they don't do what you say? It's like, well, they have to. It's like, well, what about that one? And it's Fort Max.
Right. It's a Titan that does, yeah, it looks like Fort Max.
He's Jaegering.
He absolutely is, yes. So, of course, yes, he's within the Titan, and now the Titan he's Jaegering is fighting the other Titans to stop them from going through this portal, where they've been instructed to kill everything on the other side.
He has a very good line.
Yeah.
He said, I was a prison warden for 600 years. I had one job, which was to stop people from leaving, and I was very good at it.
Oh, Max, you sure were. And yeah, so he's like, this is Prowl flips tables. I stop people from leaving prison. Let's do this.
And so he's wailing on these Titans. He's ripping the heart out of a Titan right here while shooting another one and kicking another.
He's just, yeah, this is what he does. And then we can see that Prowl and Cerebros, and I know we learn his name later, but I know we were calling him Squawk. One of the Roboids is with them. And they're outside now. They're on their little Scooty Puffs. Prowl wants to know if Max is even safe in there. And Cerebros is like, no, but...
what can we do?
Right. And we know, obviously, he can do this because of that implant that Cerebros... Right. Brought up earlier, that's how he has control over the Titan's body. And so Prowl, of course, and Cerebros, meanwhile, are like, well, let's go get Sentinel while he's dealing with all the Titans. And they do.
They immediately start going after him, and Sentinel just blows up their scooters with, like, two shots. he's like, well, Prowl, I'm going to kill you now. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is getting intense.
It is getting intense.
We get a flashback.
Right. We see Red Alert is the one behind Prowl.
Yes. He's the one holding a gun to Prowl's head.
Which, I mean, not to fan the flames of Greg's ire, but hey, Prowl, honey, does that look familiar?
Yeah.
You did it to some other people I like a whole bunch.
Maybe don't do that, Prowl.
Maybe don't do
You're
that to
terrible.
People. Maybe don't blow off the heads of precious prince scientists, you know. Maybe don't do that. We have another
right.
Red Alert.
Yeah, we go to Red Alert's therapy session, which, again, we've seen parts of.
It's him and Rung.
Right, and they're discussing, Red Alert's saying, like, look, I feel like I've been tampered with, and Rung says, well, we can get Chrome Dome to look at that for you. And he's like, oh my god, no, you, what? No, you.
that butcher, hell no, keep him away from me.
And he says, no, I think it's more of a long-term thing. Like, there's a Manchurian candidate situation in my brain. And Rung says, right. Like, well, that's weird, but like, okay, I shouldn't even indulge you, but this is how that would work. You would have to, like, willingly become that. If you resisted, they couldn't activate you. And so...
Right. And, like, like he says, like, seed yourself clues within your subconscious.
Right.
So that when it happens, you've already prepared for it, essentially.
And he's saying, you know, seed these false details, like you said. He says, we're going to create continuity errors designed to take you out of the story. And Rattler's like, I don't know. That sounds impossible. And Rung says, well, it's super possible because this conversation didn't happen.
Right. That's what's happening right now.
Right. Look around. Is anything weird? And there's that five circle pattern we see again.
The five circle pattern on the out of the windows, and all of Rung's ships are now Titans.
Right. And so we cut back to Fort Max Titan getting beat up on by 100 different Titans. And
yeah,
Sentinel saying, all right, do it. Kill Prowl. It's going to be awesome. Do it. Yeah. And then Red Alert shoots Sentinel instead.
He does. And I'm impressed that you didn't linger like on Sentinel's wording in the panel prior to being shot. Suggestive. Quite
very suggestive. That is a word for it. Yes, you are correct.
We'll say that much. Anyway, he doesn't shoot Prowl. He's like, nah, I'm gonna shoot you. He chooms him. And of course we then cut to a headless Sentinel,
a teensy boy walking out,
and a teensy boy walking out with flames behind him. And then, yeah, he's bringing us up to speed on what's happened here. He's saying,
I like that Red Alert is like, you brainwashed me. He's like, yeah, duh, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely I did.
You and like a billion other people.
And so, yeah, he's saying that they started with informers, people who would report on anybody conspiring against the Senate, and that the most enthusiastic ones got reconditioning, which what he described it as proto-shadow play.
Right.
So, and there you go. It's so good. We see Red being injected, and he's saying that, and Infinitus is saying that his doctor's placed a set of counter commands in your head to be activated by me and me alone if I ever needed a militia. Which I just want to take a moment here, as I like to do in these episodes. 4 fucking years later, that little thing that we see back in the Shadowplay issues.
Got that payoff.
Gets explained. Yep. It's impressive. So there it is. It's, which even that makes me go, like, I feel like this is where I kind of reel a little bit from it. Because not only is it very cool and just goes, you know, shows the depths at which things are being laced throughout these comics, but also these books in particular are so specific that it seems impossible to me that this was planned. You know what I mean? That, like,
sure,
for it to be Infinitus in Sentinel Prime's body, but maybe it all was. It just, the fact that these books in particular are so, like, they're not part of the storyline that we usually follow. I don't know. So, I don't know. It's just very interesting. I would like to know more, but we do finally at least have an answer for the spots on Red Alert's neck that we got all the way back in issue 9.
Ring the gong, everybody. We've learned maybe something. Maybe it was 10.
It was 10. And yes, we have learned something. If I had a gong, I would hit it. Anyway.
Yes.
We can continue now.
Sentinel is saying, like, well, I can still control you, dude. Shoot yourself in the head. Go for it. And gun is to his head.
Oh.
He looks so scared.
And he does, which, you know, makes sense. But it is, again, great expressions. Yeah, he's got his own head, or his own gun to his head. And before Infinitus can push him that last bit, oh yay, hey, our Roboid, who is a Boyd, shows up, and he, what do you call that when you like, he
300s
him, but there's like some
he kicks him into a pit.
I wish. Yeah, he falls right into
a,
I think,
mile
it's
and
Lester's?
A half deep. Yeah,
yeah, because he falls into the pit, and Red and Prowl are on the outside. And yeah, that's a mile and a half deep. And then we have Sovereign, Blackrock,
right
near them. Because Prowl's like, I don't think he can survive that. Right. And Blackrock's like, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he's definitely dead because that portal's closed.
For sure. We did it, everybody. And we have Titan Maximus leaning down to these tiny silhouettes of his friends. And he's like, okay, so here's the deal. I stopped some of them, but a lot of Titans got through that portal, just to let you guys know.
And Blackrock's like, hey, don't worry too much about it. I was able to change where the portal was headed to, so it'll just take them some extra time to get there.
And it's like this panel of all these Titans flying through like...
an asteroid
field. Which now I'm just like, well, now it's just a kooky road trip story of like all these Titans like,
I love it.
We got to get to Cybertron. We're going to kill somebody by the end of this.
I love it.
It's going to take us a while to get there.
And we continue 3 days later to what is the last scene of More Than Meets the Eye. And it's just doing dishes.
Oh, my God. And it's perfect. Yeah. So Red is saying he did sleep well. Cerebros wants to know, sleep all right? He did. He's saying he doesn't have his dreams anymore. He's not seeing those patterns and whatnot. And yeah, he can come help Cerebros clean the Titans' bits. They're cleaning the TCOG.
Right. And he said, Fort Max says a clean TCOG is a smoothly functioning TCOG. He said it like it was an actual saying.
Which, yeah, that's the kind of writing that makes these books perfect. So they're talking about just a little bit more about Red's nightmares.
Right.
And that it could have been awoken by the fact that Sentinel was nearby, like, you know, just the proximity. And he's saying, yeah, I mean, that could be it because he's dead and he's, yeah.
And saying, well, Prowl took Blackrock back to Earth and now he's staying here for a while.
Right. They're like, because that's where he just figured he would go. But yeah, no, Prowl's going to hang around, which I'm like, all right, sure. Why not? I think Prowl away from humans is good. And I think he agrees. And again, it is funny because it is definitely a James writing Prowl because he's like, yeah, I came back. Don't all hug me at once. God, you guys. Which is very funny to me because it's not what we usually get from Prowl. So the fact that he's like, hey, I'm back, I'm here. And Red just tells him, well, all right, get over to the sink, you can dry.
Right.
Because that's what we're doing. We're doing the dishes.
They ask why he's staying.
Is he staying for the bants? Which, damn it, James, that is very British.
It's exceptionally British.
Like, painfully British. We needed one more really good one to close it out.
He's saying, like, it'll be good for me to get away and to not have to worry about keeping tabs on everything.
Yeah. He's saying being out of the loop was kind of nice.
I guess this is growing up.
And then they all laugh and it freeze frames and that's the end of it.
Pretty much. Fort Max is saying like, well, I'm glad someone's staying because all the Roboids are left and they took Outrigger. We find out Beak asked Outrigger to go with him, which is cute.
Even cuter. I know, my notes on this, like, when he says, and they took Outrigger, my note just says, aw. And then, yeah, Red says, well, Beak asked him to go. And then it's like all caps, aw, with a heart behind it, because that's ridiculously cute. And then it gets even cuter, because in the very next panel, Cerebros is talking to Max, and he says, do you regret letting me use the implant to fix the Roboids? And as he's asking, he's booping him on the nose.
Yeah, it just dabs some soap suds on his nose.
It's so cute. I can't even stand it. So we do know the information we get from that once we can pull ourselves away from how adorable it is the fact that, yes, they did go ahead and use the implant and that is why all the Roboids could be helped and carry on very quickly. And Max does say that, yeah, he was, it's good. It's good that they got them all taken care of. He was kind of holding on. He liked having everyone here. That was why part of him wasn't too keen on getting them out of here too quickly.
And he says he liked being on the Lost Light and having people around.
Yeah. He wasn't there for too long, but he liked the company. We have Cerebros and Red doing something funny. I don't even, like, being goofy and adorable. Max is just being very sweet. He says he liked having lots of people around. He liked the togetherness of it. Prowl says he hates change. Max says he hates endings and my heart breaks. Red is...
He brings up Rung. Rung said you shouldn't resist change. And he says that he misses Rung. He misses everyone. He misses most of them. He misses about half of them. He misses 10 to 15% of them.
For sure. Absolutely. At least that much. And then the doorbell rings.
Right. Buzz, buzz. And Fort Max is like, wait, do we have a dishwasher?
What? I've been doing all these dishes by hand. I have... dishpan hands because I've been just washing dishes. No, they don't have a dishwasher.
Right.
It's a scanner.
Yeah. And Red Alert says, anytime that the Lost Light sends out a signal, this picks it up. And he says, don't worry about it. It was just background noise. And Formax says, are you sure you don't want to like look at it? And Red Alert's like, I could spend like months looking at it, but I really just don't want to.
Like he's going to prevent himself from doing, he's going to save himself that time instead of making up things that aren't there.
Sometimes you just have to stop. And there you go.
And there you go. And of course, when we all pour over it, we see right there in the middle, MTMTE 2012 to 2016.
Aww.
I'm telling you, I get it. I know we're not done, but it's still, my heart is in this issue very much. And then, then we have a really great... kind of close out by James that, again, if you didn't read it, I really highly suggest you go back and read it.
It's very good.
He talks about how we closed all of our mysteries. Everything was answered.
Great job.
We did it. It's coming back. I do love in he says exactly what I was thinking. The new logo, so 80s. I'm like, right, the logo's perfect. Anytime like Lost Light comes up, I'm like, I know that logo. It's so killer. It's so good.
There you go.
That's the end of More Than Meets the Eye.
I did it.
You did it.
I'm caught
which
up.
Which is so wild. Like when we started the show, of course, we had no idea that Revolution was going to be happening, that this was how this title and ongoing were going to end.
Right.
We were just trying to help people out with a Humble Bundle.
So it took what, a little more than 2 years or a year?
No, I guess. A little more than a year. Yep. Yeah.
There you go, everybody. Send me all your spoilers now. I'm ready for it.
Now, yes.
Spoil the hell out of it.
We did it. And then, of course, we still don't know what is going to happen, like how we're going to handle issues and everything from here on out. We're both very busy, so we haven't really gotten to discuss it. We're focusing on finishing this. And of course, I think, we're going to have one more episode.
Yeah.
Just to kind of close out. And so our issue 57 is going to be, we're not doing a name change. Don't worry.
Let's talk about it.
Have a name change.
I don't know. Found Light. You've come there up. There you go.
I feel like somebody made a joke or I heard something that made me think that that would have been a good name for Alt Mode, but now I can't remember what it was. It'll come to me later and I'll have to like type it out for everybody. So we'll do, I think episode 57, you and I are still figuring out what we're going to do, but we want to do something kind of fun.
We'll have something pretty cool planned.
Yeah, since we won't have these books. But, of course, Revolution's happening. There's a More Than Meets the Eye Revolution book that focuses on the scavengers and Earth.
Yeah.
Which, oh my goodness, I cannot even wait. That's going to be amazing. Very excited. Still lots of really cool things.
Yes, there's going to be way more of these comics. There's going to be way more of this show. Stay tuned to our Twitter to figure out exactly what's going on and when it's going on.
Yeah.
Twitter.com/soundwavecast. It's not hard to find. It's on our website as well, soundwavecast.com. Go ahead and listen to the old episodes. I'm about to do that now. I'm going to go back and listen to like the first episodes and reread the couple issues. I'm going to be like, oh my God, what is...
I feel like if I went back, I would just cringe the entire time.
I definitely am gonna.
You're planning on it.
And so here's the other thing I would recommend. If you have just been listening to this podcast and you haven't been reading the comics, which would be weird, but I know people do it. Or if you just know someone who you think would like these comics, go ahead and just buy them Lost Light number one. It's like $3. And it's like the jumping on point going forward.
Right. Like, that's kind of how this is being treated. It's very much the same way that everyone who jumped in at the Death of Optimus Prime was able to just pick it up. And
right.
I know there are a lot of people out there with friends who, like, see everybody loving More Than Meets the Eye, and maybe they're a little curious. And, yeah, 57 issues can seem very daunting. So maybe you just start them off with Lost Light. And
if they say, well, how would I go ahead and, like, what do I need to know about those issues? Just send them to your favorite podcast.
Just send them our way. We'll take care of them.
There you go. What else do we have to announce here? You're going to be at TFCon tomorrow, or today, I guess, as this is being uploaded.
That's true. Friday is, yeah, the first day of TFCon. I will be there. And, yeah, I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and at least, yeah, the morning of Sunday, however long everybody's hanging out. So, yeah. So if you're listening to this, and you're not, or wait, if you are listening to this and somehow also at TFCon, or on your way there, I'll be there.
There you go, everybody.
I'm blonde, and that's how you'll know who I am.
Right, you're the only blonde there.
The only blonde there. No, yeah, I don't have any, like, defining, big blonde hair. And then Saturday, I will be Holoform Whirl on Saturday. I found my eye patch.
Nice.
I lost it earlier. So anyway, yes, I'll be there. If you're there,
hang out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. And so next week we will have episode 57 and just kind of do something fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's a surprise to us too. Absolutely. Always.
Transformanauts, we done gone did it. Mission accomplished.
We did it. Transformanauts, Greg doesn't suck at Transformers anymore.
Transformanauts, I'm sorry to have to say this, but you actually still do suck at Transformers.
Transformanauts, we're going to keep working on it.
We'll get you there, Transformanauts. Don't you worry.